This is the Big 550 KTRS. Paul Harris filling in for John Carney, who is still recuperating from a Roto-Rooter deal he had done in his heart yet again. While John is gone, his contributors are still here, including Jen Chaney, who's the TV critic for Vulture. Hi, Jen. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Paul?
Good. Nice to talk to you. We're going to talk a little bit here about Kevin Spacey and Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston and some other stuff. But you have breaking news for us today about Louis C.K.
Yes, Louis C.K. has a movie coming out, or at least I think it's still coming out, called I Love You, Daddy. And news recently broke just within the past, you know, couple of hours that the premiere of that film has been postponed because it appears the New York Times is about to drop a story about Louis C.K. I don't know the contents of that story yet because it has not, as we're talking, been published quite yet. But there have been certainly allegations made in the past about him doing some inappropriate things with women that have never been substantiated. But my guess is that the Times is going to address that in some fashion. So that's yet another one of these possibly harassment cases coming into light.
I'll tell you what's odd about this is I am on Louis C.K.'s email list. I got on it several years ago when he started distributing his own specials and the series that he self-produced Horace and Pete, and he sold that himself. And so I've been on the email list, and twice in the last couple of weeks I've gotten emails from Louis, as have tens of thousands of other people who are on the list, and promoting this movie, I Love You, Daddy, about how here's when it's coming out, here's where you can get tickets, I hope you'll go see it, blah, 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 blah. And now it seems like this whole thing could be blowing up on him because of things that happened years ago.
It appears that way. I want to be cautious just because we don't know all the details yet. But, yeah, it seems like it may be going in that direction. And it's the kind of thing where, you know, nobody has the right to assault or harass people. And it's horrible when any of these things come out. But I think it's especially horrible when it's people whose work you really, really admire and who, you know, in Louis C.K.'s case, I think, especially with the show Better Things and the work he's done with Pamela Adlon, really helped get some women's voices onto television in ways that I think are important. Again, you know, I want to wait and see what the Times story actually says, but, you know, it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, Pam's show Better Things is wonderfully unique and a real pleasure to watch to get away from the normal sitcom drudgery of network TV. So I've been a big fan of that. And I know that she's worked with him for many, many years. But there are also, you know, details about his past that have kind of come leaking out, including one from Tig Notaro. I think Louis is a producer of her show, which is Mississippi something?
One Mississippi.
One Mississippi,
that's right.
Yeah. And she came out and said some things about incidents that she's aware of in Louis's past that also are probably going to be part of this Times story when it gets published this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I mean, she, I believe, took his name off as producer just in terms of the credits in the most recent season of One Mississippi. And she publicly called for him to, you know, discuss the allegations, to either own up to what he may have done or address it in some fashion and say, no, I unequivocally didn't do this, because, you know, she just didn't like the fact that these rumors are out there and he's just kind of ignoring them.
Yeah,
so we'll see what happens from here going forward.
Again, this is all rumor and speculation at this point, but I got to tell you, a little bit of me hurts when I hear these stories about performers who I like. You know, the Bill Cosby thing, I always looked up to Cosby as one of the greatest comedians of all time. And, of course, that has been severely diminished by all the claims of the women who came out against him. I was a Kevin Spacey fan. You know, a lot. I didn't know Harvey Weinstein's work, but I knew a lot of the movies that he produced. And a lot of that kind of goes to, well, be careful who you idolize in the business, because they could have feet of clay. And this is yet another example of that, right?
Yeah. And I mean, the tough thing about all of those examples you just gave, and I'll zero in on Cosby, just for sake of argument. I mean, The Cosby Show was just such a formative show for me and for millions of people. And I think really a terrific show. In fact, just by coincidence, I was revisiting it for an essay I was writing just earlier today. And what happens when you say, because of Bill Cosby, it's like hard for us to even watch The Cosby Show or even want to show it to our kids. But it also hurts all the people who did really great work on these shows and other projects, who kind of get dragged down with it. Like, I was writing about Felicia Rashad, who, as Claire Huxtable, was phenomenal. I think we should still talk about how what a great character Claire Huxtable was, but it's like we kind of can't because we don't want to give attention to Cosby. And with House of Cards, I saw a piece about how if they ultimately end up canceling House of Cards, which it seems like they're going to do, how that's going to affect all the people in Baltimore where it's filmed, who get so much business from having a show of that caliber and come there to their city and film there. So these are things that they're sad to see this happen to these actors and performers that we like, but they also have ripple effects that impact all these other people too.
Absolutely. And let's talk about House of Cards and Kevin Spacey. I'll get to his movie in just a moment, but what about the show itself? Because there was speculation that the creators of it, who had to cancel the sixth season, which was going to be its last, that they'd already recorded several episodes of that. And they were almost, you know, done with the post-production on at least the first episode of the next season. And now they have to either throw the whole thing away or maybe try to spin it off. Is there a possibility that they'll turn this into a Robin Wright standalone series or make a House of Cards spinoff based on another character on that show?
There was some discussion about a spinoff potentially about the Doug Stamper character. But, yeah, I mean, you're right that They've suspended production on what they're doing now, and the season that they're in the midst of is going to be the last one. You know, I have personally always felt, even before all of this started, that Claire Underwood, who's played by Robin Wright, is by far the more interesting character.
Yep.
Because there's more layers to her. She actually, it seems like there is a human being in there somewhere, whereas Frank Underwood, the character played by Spacey, is just a bad, bad guy and never shows any kind of remorse, which is ironic to say in light of what's come out about the actor in the past couple of weeks. So I think House of Cards is a more interesting show, frankly, without Frank Underwood in it.
I agree.
In light of what's been said about what had been going on that set without anyone doing anything about it, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to try to go on, even in a spinoff mode, because it just seems like the whole idea of the show is somewhat tainted and perhaps everyone will just want to move on.
Yeah, let me go on record as saying spinoff with the Doug Stamper character is a horrible idea. You don't take the evil sidekick and give him his own show because that's all the character was, and there's no lead potential there. Now, I say that having known that in the past plenty of things have done that. Frasier was spun off from something successful, but he wasn't evil. Lou Grant was spun off from Mary Tyler Moore, but he wasn't evil. In this case, Doug Stamper purely exists to do the evil bidding of Frank Underwood, and that's not a lead character.
Right. I will say even he, we've seen his weaknesses. We've seen, I guess it was maybe season two or three, where he was really trying to better himself for a while there. So there have been a little bit more layers to him than just being as pure evil as Frank is. But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what new that would bring to the table that hasn't already been said and done in House of Cards already.
I agree. One other thing about Louis C.K., I'm seeing now that he was supposed to be on Colbert's show on Friday night. They have canceled him. William H. Macy will take his place on Friday night.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if they canceled him or if he backed out. I think it may have been that he backed out, which is in keeping with canceling that film premiere, that he's trying to potentially keep a lower profile as whatever is coming out in the Times starts to make its way into the culture.
You know, when you sign on to be a publicist for any of these people, you probably look forward to the day when you have to deflect some sort of crisis because that's going to be part of your job. But you also cringe when the crisis finally comes around. And I know in the case of Spacey, is his publicist still with him or did she quit?
The publicist dropped him. His agents have dropped him. Oh. House of Cards fired him. And the more things keep coming out, I mean, honestly, it seems very likely to me that he will end up in jail.
Now, what about this unprecedented move, at least I've never heard of it before, of Kevin Spacey being edited out of a movie that's already finished and is scheduled to be released Christmas week? We're talking about 6-7 weeks away. It's called All the Money in the World. They're going to edit him out and do new scenes with Christopher Plummer and have him be the character. Have you ever heard of anything like that, Jen?
Well, I've heard of people being, certainly digitally inserted, but certainly not under these circumstances. which is pretty incredible. Christopher Plummer will replace him and play John Paul Getty. This was a role for Spacey that was already being talked about as an Oscar, you know, getting an Oscar push.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ridley Scott, who directed the film and everyone involved with it, doesn't want to not come out, and they don't want to lose potentially their chances at Academy Awards. So they've figured out this kind of wild workaround. And gosh, isn't that a chilling thing, a message to send? You know, hey, if you get involved in something like a Spacey situation, if you're accused of harassment, hey, guess what? We can always digitally insert someone else or get someone else to play you and just rework things through the magic of CG.
How great is that for Christopher Plummer if he ends up doing the role and gets nominated for Spacey's old job?
Yeah. I mean, my understanding is that a lot of Spacey's scenes were maybe not kind of ensemble scenes where he was sort of in isolation as a character.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think it will be as difficult for them to do it in this particular role, whereas other roles it would be a little harder and would require more kind of post-production fine-tuning maybe, but... it's fascinating.
But even though he wasn't the lead, I bet there's marketing material out there talking about him. They got to go redo all of that, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They've got to rip up a lot of things and start over with not very much time, as you said, until the film comes out.
All right, let's talk about another thing that was announced today, which is that Apple is getting into the TV series business. What's this news?
Well, this is not the first indication that they're getting into the TV series business. They announced not too long ago that they're going to be doing a reboot of Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories, which, if you remember back in the 80s, that was an anthology series.
Yep.
Produced by Steven Spielberg, sort of in the vein of a Twilight Zone kind of thing. And then they've announced that they are going to be doing a drama starring Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston, who, as you may remember, they played sisters on Friends. Reese Witherspoon was one of Rachel's sisters. And it's going to be based in part on Brian Stelter's book about morning show television. The question that I have, though, that Apple has not clarified is exactly how they're going to distribute the show. I'm assuming, of course, it will be available on Apple TV, but is it something that you could pay to download from iTunes, or, you know, how is it going to work? Because when, for example, CBS has been putting things on their all-access channel, which not everybody subscribes to.
Not everybody? That's a slight understatement.
Yeah. I'm trying to be diplomatic.
I know. I think the total is 11. 11 people subscribe to that.
But, they've had shows like The Good Fight and their new Star Trek on there, and I feel like those shows would be certainly much more talked about and much more part of the cultural conversation if they were on actual CBS. So I'm curious, you know, this is a show that I personally am really interested in, given how Big Little Lies with Reese Witherspoon did on HBO. I feel like this is the kind of show that people would really be talking about. So I'm just wondering how exactly people will be able to access it and what effect that will have on how well it does. But we'll see.
There's just too many services out there, you know. If you're going to be a cord cutter, but you're going to pick up and want to watch all these other series, now you got to have Netflix, you got to have Amazon Prime, you got to have Hulu, you got to have CBS All Access, you got to have Apple now with whatever they're doing. Some of these services, like NBC, had one called CISO that lasted shorter than our conversation today. But but how many $10 a month deals can people pay for before they go, yeah, you know what, it's too much. I'm just going to have to say I'll never see that show.
I mean, that's right. It is, and for... Not that anyone's crying a river for those of us who whose jobs are to watch television, but as TV critics, it's just impossible to authoritatively feel like you have a sense of the whole landscape, because the landscape is just way too vast for any one person to absorb it all.
This Witherspoon-Aniston series is going to be about morning TV, you mentioned, because it's based on Brian Stelter's book. I'm remembering a 2010 movie called Morning Glory, with Rachel McAdams and Harrison Ford, that was absolutely horrible. And I know, because my wife used to work in television years and years ago, could not have been less about the actual reality of morning TV. I hope that if Stelter is hired as a consultant on this, I mean, he's not a morning TV guy either. He's the CNN media guy who hosts Reliable Sources on Sunday mornings and is on seemingly 7 days a week on that network. But at least they could talk to him and say, tell us some stories about things that actually happened there, and we'll put that in our series. Do you know do you know who else is going to be involved? Is there anybody who's actually been on Good Morning America or the Today Show or CBS This Morning?
Well, I know that it's the series was written and it's executive produced by Jay Carson, who worked on, ironically, House of Cards. So I don't know necessarily how much, you know, how many people will be consulting that have that kind of knowledge. But, you know, Brian, before he was at CNN, he was at the New York Times, and he wrote Top of the Morning based on, which is largely about the Today Show, based on his reporting over the years on NBC Morning and the Today Show specifically, and had, I think, really good sources. He's married to someone who also is in television. So I feel like he has some sense of how it really works, and I do hope that that, as you said, that the show reflects that, because I actually do think that's an interesting area to explore.
I hope it's better than the movie was 7 years ago. Last thing I want to ask you about today, Jen, is are you watching Mindhunter on Netflix?
I have watched Mindhunter. In fact, I wrote a review of it for Vulture. Yes, I have.
I have not read any reviews because I'm in the process of watching it, and I'm up to the fourth episode, and I'm so fascinated by this show that I wonder where it can go with these characters. Is this a limited run series, or are they planning this to be a year after year thing?
I don't think they have said whether there's going to be a second season, but I think there very easily could be one, and they tee it up without giving away anything.
Mm-hmm.
It seems clear when you get to the end, like, yeah, there could definitely be more of this. And, you know, I think obviously many, many people get really sucked into crime dramas, which is what Mindhunter is. But what I really appreciate about that show is that it doesn't feel lurid and exploitative the way that they deal with it. And I think a lot of what's fascinating about it is that it's really looking at kind of toxic masculinity in our culture, and how, you know, a lot of they're looking at serial killers, all of whom are men, and looking at even men who aren't killers, you know, what starts to happen to your psyche, and kind of how that can lead certain people down a far darker road. So I think it's a really thoughtful look at that kind of material that you typically don't see in, you know, mainstream network shows that are about crime.
I'll tell you one thing I really, really like about it, and we should explain, it is a series about a couple of guys at the FBI who, in the interest of doing behavioral science about people who commit horrible crimes, once we started having serial killers like Son of Sam in the 70s, they decided to try to get ahead of that by trying to understand what's wrong with these guys that makes them want to do some truly horrible things. And the thing I like about it is that it stays on the story of these guys who are essentially investigating sickness, but it doesn't show us flashbacks to the horrible thing. We hear it described, but we don't see it visualized, the horrible things these men did to, in many cases, women along the way. I think that is one thing that puts this well above what many other people might have done with a series like this that, as you say, keeps it from being lurid.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's just as chilling to hear these descriptions without showing us every detail.
Yeah.
And I think it makes for, it's a much more cerebral show than, like I said, a lot of other crime dramas are, and a lot of other people might have taken it in that direction if they'd been in charge. But David Fincher and the other folks who worked on the show, I think, did a really great job with it.
David Fincher, also part of the creative team behind House of Cards, who I'm sure right now doesn't want any questions about that.
Right.
Jen, thanks for joining me here today. It's a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Jen Chaney is the TV critic for Vulture. I'm Paul Harris. This is the John Carney Show on the Big 550 KTRS.